Exodus chapter 32, verse 7 through verse 10. I have seen this people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Now, I'm not going to preach on this morning, but and I still have that message. A fellow asked me about it this week that I hope to preach soon. God looks at Moses and said, Your people that you brought out. I like that. So there's more to that, but I won't go there this morning. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I don't know how we got to this place today where there's no fear of the Lord. I watched a man preach on it here a few weeks ago, and that was the essence of the what I call my religion, the fear of God. I can remember even at a young age, like these boys, I can't tell you why it was there, but I can tell you it was there. I had a fear of God. And today there's not a fear, this fear is gone, even in the church. We're told in the book of Hebrews, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12, that God is a consuming fire. But we don't hear anything about that, you see, that he's a consuming fire. In Hebrews 12, verse 23, through the remainder of the chapter, down through verse 29, and he said, to the general assembly and church, of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and what? And godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, that's something that we should consider carefully. Reverence and godly fear. I don't find it in religion today. The God of the Bible, he's going to shake this thing. And just like you'd reach down and shake anything around you, just that's what he's going to do. He's going to shake this thing. He's going to shake this globe. He's going to shake this heaven. He's going to shake everything in it. He's going to burn it. Everything you see around you right now, he's going to burn it. Every bit of it. He's going to burn it up. Everything that's been made with hands will be destroyed. It says in 2 Peter, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You remember? And the earth also, and all the works in it. The trees, the ground, the grass, the homes, the buildings. He's going to burn it all up. And yet men stand today before him with no reverence or fear whatever. How did this occur? And they use his name in vain. It's second nature for men to use his name in vain. And they'll even curse him and commit all sorts of evils. I always remember in Sunday school they give out these little pages to color, or they have these little coloring books about the Lord. But I never see him portrayed as a consuming fire. And I never hear preaching, Sunday school, or anything else of his hot wrath. Do you see what he said? My hot wrath, we were just talking about. I said, oh, you raised your voice. Really? That's part of the problem. I would wonder today, have your children ever seen your hot wrath? I don't see that. Your hot wrath. Your wrath ever wax hot? I think it's a lot like the Lord looking down. I don't know how you can be a parent unless you have a perfect child and your wrath never wax hot. And if it doesn't, how are they going to know God's wrath? Because they don't even know what wrath is. They don't have an illustration or an example of such, you see. That's one aspect of my dad, my earthly father, I remember. I don't remember everything about him, but I can certainly remember his wrath, and not just him. I had a reverence for my elders. How so? They had a wrath that I didn't want to see, and I knew they had it for my elders. And then we had such when I was in the military. There was a wrath involved there. I didn't want to see that wrath. I had that wrath when I played sports in school. There was a wrath involved. I didn't want to see it. There was a wrath in some of the teachers that I had. You see, man is by nature lost, and I think we have forgotten the doctrine of total depravity. How deceitful, man has a deceitful heart. And if you believe that it's but love that keeps man in check, then you're deceived. It didn't keep these, our texts, those children, it didn't keep them in check. God's love brought them out. What'd they do? Made a golden calf. And God said his wrath waxed hot. Those of you that have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, I can tell you that you have a fear of committing sin. I know you do, or else you'd be lost. There is a reverential fear of committing sin. Or else you can't be saved. Yeah, I love my Heavenly Father, and I believe He loves me far more than I could love Him. But make no mistake, there's also a reverential fear, just like there was with my earthly father, and certain elders that were in my life, you see. And this seems to be the mantra of the day, and it has been for some years. My dad wasn't my friend. Do you understand that? He was my dad. And there's a great difference there. I've observed parents and children who are so-called friends. And you know what I found in that thing? When they're so-called friends, there's always sin involved. And you know what? That's why there's sin in the church, in the churches. This familiarity, okay? For lack of a better word, this familiarity. And so they have this familiarity even with God. God is their friend. And he knows their heart and surely wouldn't harm any of them. He's my friend. The man upstairs. The big guy. It's blasphemous. He, God, is not my friend. Not in the way that we use the word today. Okay? And if you think that God is your friend, your pal, you don't know the same God that I know. And you don't know the God of this Bible. And when you say, well, God was Abraham's friend, he was not his friend like you and I know friendship today. Or is it spoken of today? And you need to get that. Because that's one of the problems that we no longer have the fear of the Lord. That's why children don't fear their parents. There's no fear before their eyes. You know why Abraham was called a friend of God? Did you ever look it up? Amen, brother. He believed God. Not because they were pals. God has never been nor ever will be mine or your or anyone else's pal. Read the book and quit believing the God of your mind, the Santa Claus and the grandpa that they preach in the churches today. Now, with that said, there has to be for reverential fear, has to be said that, you know, in Romans 9 verse 8 says, children of the flesh are not the children of God. Boy, there's a lot of places I could go with that. Children of the flesh are not the children of God. And thus they speak of God as their friend, their pal. There's no reverential fear before their eyes. The man upstairs. There's no fear of the man upstairs. And so, it involves a headship. And that's really the crux of the matter. It's always been the matter at hand. Jesus, though Lord of all, came as a servant when he walked as a man on the earth to do the will of the one that sent him. Now listen, he wasn't in charge. Did you know that? Because he came to do the will of someone else. The one that sent him. His Father's will. And any place that there are two or more, one must be in charge. Never equal. Not ever. God makes Adam. Who's in charge? God makes Eve. Who's in charge? Long come Cain and Abel. Who's in charge? The serpent. Who's in charge? Lucifer. Who's in charge? Michael the archangel. Who's in charge? Who's in charge here? You see? I married what I call my best friend. But she wasn't my pal. Nor was I her pal. There's only one in charge in a marriage. That's why divorce is rampant. Or in a relationship. That's why the churches are in the shape they're in. When Adam sinned, he rebelled against the one that was in charge. The woman, she rebelled against Adam. And Adam against God. There must always be one greater in authority. And one who can't bow to authority can't bow to God. Won't happen. I've told many, 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 many times, and I've told some women this, to their face. If you can't bow to a man, you'll never bow to God. You think you will, but you will not. Because if you can't obey those that have the rule over you, then you can't obey God. You're not obeying God just for not doing that. And he said in Hebrews 13, he said it twice, obey them that have the rule over you, that watch out for your souls. David feared killing Saul, his mortal enemy, King Saul. Because Saul was king. Even though David had been anointed king by God. He had a reverential fear. You've heard me say many times, things different can never be equal. There are no two on earth equal. They may be in agreement, but not equal. And this Jesus that's portrayed as a friend to all shall return in what? Flaming fire. Jesus coming back in flaming fire. And the Bible says he's going to be taking vengeance. Vengeance. You find love and vengeance? Oh, well, God is love. I said he's coming back in flaming fire and he's going to take vengeance. And who's he going to take vengeance on? Here it comes. Them that obey not. Oh, you mean he requires obedience? I'm reading the Bible. Do you obey him? You see, that's a friendship that few know. It's called obedience. Why did Abraham call his friend? He believed him. He obeyed him to the nth degree of taking his own son as a sacrifice. And today they walk about as if they have a special pass to disobey God because he's their so-called friend. But I'm here to tell you, no one has that pass. That cup couldn't even pass from Christ the Lord as he walked as you and I, as a man upon this earth. He walked with his obedience to another. God got mad. He said, let me alone. You ever hear that preached? I've got a pretty good voice for that kind of thing. And I can't begin to illustrate. Let me alone! That my wrath may wax hot against them. Get out of my way! I'm going to consume them! And even Moses, who actually, he talked God out of consuming them. It's one of those enigmas in the Word of God that's beyond my understanding. Oh, God, no, wait. Man, these people over here will think, man, you brought these people out to kill them. I can't believe that he did that. But even that Moses, he said, boys, gird up your loins and get your sword out. And you remember he killed 3,000 of them. Mm-hmm. 3,000 people. Think about that. 3,000 died by the sword, and then he made them drink the very idol they created. Ground it, put it in the water, and said, drink it. The story of Achan, when sin was in the camp. He was sorry for his sin. Oh, man, I messed up. Man, I did. I took this. Well, that's all right, Achan. No. Well, Lord, Achan, he took this thing, and he wasn't supposed to, but he said he's sorry. What do you want to do with him now, pal? Kill him. Did you ever read it? Kill him. Oh, by the way, kill his wife and children, too, and all his kinfolks. And his animals. That's pretty good hot wrath wouldn't you say? How you want us to kill him? Stone him. There's a man, a woman, children, animals, and 600,000 people standing there throwing rocks. I'm sure they all weren't, but you get the picture. Oh, when you're done with them, burn them. What God say he's coming back? Flaming fire. How's he going to destroy the earth? He said, I won't flood it again. I'm going to burn it. And I'll tell you today that but for Calvary, there's not one in earshot of my voice that would rightfully not suffer the same fate. But for Calvary. Because we're all Achan personified. You mean he took his only son and had him crucified for your sins and you're still in them? Don't want to be in those shoes. You don't obey him, God forbid. You'd crucify him afresh. I said he's coming back in flaming fire to take vengeance. I sent my son, my only begotten son, to die for your sins, to shed his blood for your sins, to be spat upon. You read those books of the Old Testament, they were to kill the sacrifice. It wasn't even allowed in the tabernacle. Now look what they do in the churches. You couldn't even take the sacrifice in the tabernacle. You couldn't take the lame in the halt. Not allowed. The priests were to wear. They weren't allowed to sweat. They weren't allowed to wear anything that would cause sweat. As Jeff well knows, couldn't even go out the same door they went in. And the New Testament tells us Jesus suffered without the camp. But today, men in their sins, all going to heaven. Living in sin. Living in sin. He's my friend, you see. But he hates sin to the point of the passion. They weren't allowed. Moses went on the mountain. You couldn't get close to the mountain, you remember? You said you were just reading there. An animal couldn't even get close to it. Die instantly. Moses came from that mountain. They couldn't even look at his face. He'd been with God. Couldn't even look at his face. Couldn't even look at the face of one that had been with God. God said, I've seen this people. Let me alone that I may consume them. I'll tell you today, and we'll finish with it, that the only way to avoid God's wrath, only way to avoid God's wrath isn't Moses. And it isn't your heart thinking about the man upstairs. It's the shed blood of the perfect Lamb of God. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He better see the blood. That blood that the likes of these so-called great evangelists symbolically speak of. Jesus Christ the Lord. God said, I've seen this people. What's he going to see when he returns? What does he see in you? Your home. Rightfully tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine your own selves whether you be in Christ. The sum of the matter. I remember Brother Royce preaching the sum of the matter. Ecclesiastes. The sum of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. God said, I've seen this people. And He's seen you. And He's seen me. Amen.